This is our sixth occasion to preach from Revelation chapter 12. We're still only through, after today, the middle of verse 4. So be careful to pay close attention to those as we read, and we'll read the entire text. Beginning at verse 1, "Then a great sign in the heaven was made visible, a woman sun-clothed, the moon underneath her feet, a crown of 12 stars on her head, having in her belly, crying out, travailing and pained to bring forth. Then another sign in the heaven was made visible, and lo, a great fiery dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and on its heads 7 diadems. And its tail draws the third of the stars of the heaven and cast them into the earth. And the dragon stands before the woman who is about to bring forth, that when she brings forth it might devour the child. And she did bring forth a son, a male who intends to rule all the nations by means of a rod of iron. And her child was hastened away to God and to his throne. But the woman did flee into the wilderness, where she has a place, having been prepared there of God, that there they may feed her 1,260 days. And fighting was in the heaven, Michael with his messengers to fight the dragon, and the dragon and its messengers fought, but it did not prevail, a place no longer found for them in the heaven. And the great dragon, that old serpent, the whole world's deceiver, called Diabolus and Satanas, was cast into the earth, and its messengers cast with it. And I heard a great sound in the heaven, declaring, Now the salvation, and the might, and the kingdom of our God, and the authority of his Christ did come to be. For the accuser of our brothers, that accuses them before our God day and night, was cast. For they did overcome him by the blood of the Lamb, and by the word of their testimony. For they loved not their life, even unto death. Because of this, rejoice, heavens, and you who dwell in them. Woe, the land and the sea, for the devil did go down to you having great wrath, knowing that it has little time. And when the dragon beheld that it had been cast into the earth, it did pursue the woman who so brought forth the male. And the two wings of the great eagle were given to the woman so that she could fly into the wilderness, into her place, away from the presence of the serpent, where she is fed there a time, times, and a half time. And the serpent did cast water from its mouth as flood after the woman, that it might bring about her carrying away. And the earth did run to the aid of the woman, and the earth opened its mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon cast from its mouth. And the dragon was enraged regarding the woman, and did go forth to make war with the rest of her seed, that is, those keeping the commandments of God and holding the testimony of Jesus." Ends now the reading of God's holy word. Thank you. Be seated. The sign of this creature is to be sent to the churches. The sign is our Lord's perspective, just as the sign of the woman is his perspective, and it is a perspective of the whole as it bears upon the last days. And it's in the language, which is all through the former written word, and it's all for the comfort and the assurance and the hope of all of our Lord's newborns in all the churches. And the sign is the last day's confirmation of all former prophecy with regard to this creature. And it confirms what has been written about the authority of God the Son. And it confirms what has been said back there in Isaiah and Micah, which we read earlier, regarding the newborn daughter of Zion. It's for their repose. It's for their confidence in their Lord's complete authority of everything that's happening all around them. They were to see the sign, as John has written it here, and be courageous and resolute under the extreme conditions that were to take place quickly, for they were to know from this sign that nothing happened by accident. And they were to hear and be reminded of the theology taught them by the apostles. And they were to hear the language written by John and know that this was Yahweh's language all through the prophets, and therefore be secure in the fact that all of these events were not at all superfluous or unintentional or arbitrary, but rather it was all under the authority of their Lord Jesus Christ. It's a sign of Yahweh. It is the sign of the dragon, the sign of the dragon with seven heads and 10 horns, 10 crowns. And the sign reveals this creature to be the instigator, the power behind the imperial thrones of the ancient world that persecuted the Lord's people. The sign, as expected, is in the same language as before, 650 or so years before, as a matter of fact. Listen carefully as I read from Daniel chapter 7 once again for you, as we did last Lord's Day. I saw in my vision by night, and behold, same word, by the way, in the New Testament that's translated lo. Behold, the four winds of heaven break forth upon the great sea. And four great beasts came up from the sea, diverse, different from one another. The first was like a lion and had eagle's wings. I beheld till the wings thereof were plucked, and it was lifted up from the earth and made to stand upon 2 feet as a man. And a man's heart was given to it. Behold, another beast, a second, likened to a bear. And it was raised up on one side. 3 ribs were in its mouth between its teeth. And they said thus unto it, Arise, devour much flesh. After this I beheld, and lo, another, like a leopard, which had upon its back 4 wings of a bird. The beast also had 4 heads, and dominion was given to it. After this I saw in the night visions, and behold, a 4th beast, terrible, powerful, exceedingly strong. It had great iron teeth. It devoured, it broke in pieces, it stamped the residue with its feet, and it was different, diverse from all of the beasts that were before it, and it had 10 horns. Now, in Yahweh's sign here in the heaven, the dragon has 7 heads and 10 horns. In Daniel's vision, the 4 beasts arising out of the sea of humanity had a total of 7 heads and 10 horns. And Daniel saw that they had dominion. So there were the obvious indications of dominion. They had crowns. These beasts arising from the sea, called out, by the way, you remember, by the 4 cherubim at the 4 corners of the Ark of the Covenant. The beasts are the worldwide dominions of Babylon and Persia and Greece and Rome. The last one, the last beast, the one with the 10 horns, is the one we'll see in some detail throughout the remainder of the Revelation. After all, it was the empire in dominion at the writing of this letter. It was the fourth beast in the image of the great beast. The existence of these four worldwide, culture-changing, language-changing tyrant empires are attempts by this dragon to establish an illicit and illegal world empire in order to challenge the covenantal kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. As the creature provoked each of these four beasts, these four challenges to our Lord's kingdom, the persecution and ultimate destruction of the covenant nation was its focus. That was the goal of its desire, you see. Because if it was able to destroy Israel, it could cut off the covenant promise. At least, that's what it thought. The fiery dragon with the seven heads, the sign of Yahweh to the churches, is here perfectly identified with the four beasts in Daniel's vision, in God's perception, you see. That's the point of the sign. In fact, it is the beast by which these four empires are partial images. They are, all four of them, in the likeness of the dragon beast of Revelation 12 here. And as John describes the sign, we see the very language of God in the revelation to Daniel. Same language, you see. Four beasts of Daniel are described by him very much as John describes the great beast here in the revelation. So the four beasts in the prophet Daniel's vision are seen to be in the very image of the beast of John's vision. So, the dragon is seen in Yahweh's perception as the great beast, the one behind the four beasts of dominion with the seven heads and ten horns. The four beasts of Daniel's vision look like the dragon. The dragon is not only behind the four beasts in Daniel, but it gives the four beasts of history their identity. They actually appear to Daniel as interchangeable counterparts to the great dragon. In fact, they are indistinguishable in God's view. Even as Daniel describes the uniqueness of each one of these four beasts in his vision, there still is a striking correspondence with the great beast revealed here in John's revelation. So, in Yahweh's view, those who take after the dragon, those who assume the dragon's ends and goals, those who take up its cause, those who submit to its incitements against the covenantal decree, actually take on its appearance and its character in his perception. The great dragon gives them their appearance. The great dragon gives them their character. They really and actually become its image. The great beast here in the revelation is the one that incites aliens. The great beast of the revelation incites nations against the seed of the covenant people. And here in the sign, it has the diadems of the four beasts on its own heads. However, the authority that it has assumed for itself, indicated by the crowns, is an illegitimate authority, because it is mocking the King of Kings, and it provides that same mocking image to others who assume illegitimate authority. It has provided that image of dominion to the four empires of Daniel's vision. And it's the same image that it provides some individuals and groups who take on an illegitimate image of authority. Doesn't necessarily have to be world dominion, although that is one of its ultimate goals, but there is a similarity, there is a correspondence, if you will, between this creature and any other who assumes authority for himself. And anyone who denies the authority of the risen and ascended Christ of God takes on the likeness and the identity of this creature. When, for example, humanity's original mother and father were deceived by this beast, they took on its identity as fallen and cursed creatures in rebellion against God's word. They took on its identity. And they became deceptive creatures, therefore, in their own right, covering themselves, hiding from God. And when they were confronted with their disobedience, they even tried to deceive him in their answers to his inquisition. So they took on the image of the beast rather than being in the image of triune God by whom they were created. But this beast is the ages-long murderer and liar, and it is the persecutor of the promised covenant seed, and it is the persecutor of the seed of the daughter of Zion. And it is presented here in the sign of Yahweh as the provocation, as the instigation behind each one of the four ancient empires. Those empires were incited, you see, to world dominion. They were incited to the destruction of the covenant seed. And the fourth of the four beasts is a matter of immediate attention in all the remainder of the Revelation. Now, I want to change directions here just for a couple of minutes, but because of what we know to be the case from the text of Scripture, we can judge present conditions righteously. In fact, we are judges in the judge of all the earth. We are judges in him, you see. We sit with him. We sit in him in judgment. And as long as we judge with his authority, then we judge righteously. And we have his authority, his word. Although we don't prophesy, we are to be judges of present conditions based on that which God has previously spoken. We are to bring God's word to bear on all present conditions. That's what we call forthtelling prophecy. We are to be prophets in Christ Jesus, the great prophet. And the fact is that this beast, the sign of which is the fiery dragon, has not yet been consigned to the lake of fire beneath God's judgment seat. Although it has been bound in darkness, and although its binding has left it incapable of preventing the ransacking of its house, its final judgment has not yet occurred. Therefore, it is still active. It is trying its best to prolong the time of its ultimate end. Still trying its best to raise up world dominions to challenge the kingdom of the risen and ascended Lord Jesus Christ. Still trying to provoke even one newborn to turn on its Savior. Now knows that 144,000 Jews were the very daughter of Zion, the firstborn of the Christ, sent into the strong man's house to rob it of its goods. So it's still deceived, you see, into inciting the elimination of Jewish people. Even though it instigated the complete destruction of Israel and Jerusalem and the temple by means of the fourth beast, one with the ten horns, still thinks it necessary that ethnic Jews must be eliminated. The Roman Empire and its Caesars tried for over 200 years to eliminate Jewish Christians after our Lord's parousia. They and their Gentile seed of Abraham flourished under that great persecution, and the fourth beast of Daniel's prophecy was ultimately defeated. Then the creature incited another horrible beast and gave it its image. It was another false religion, not all that dissimilar from Israel's false religion, Judaism. One, though in the beast's own likeness, very nearly gained world dominion. It was deceptive and very ferocious, seeking the bloody deaths of every Christian and every Jew that would not bow the knee to its Allah, the false sun god of Arabian mythology. The beast is still out there in the image of the dragon, trying to cut off the covenant seed, trying to turn just one of our Lord Jesus' newborns. And now it's deceptively promoting things like equality and social justice and peaceful coexistence in order to insinuate itself into societies everywhere. Having been defeated militarily in the Middle Ages, the beast couldn't stop the seed of the daughter of Zion from thriving all through the world. Now that same beast is raising its ugly head again, threatening every Christian with death should they not turn from the Savior, and threatening every Jew on earth with the great Holocaust. Sino-Soviet communism unleashed horrible persecutions of Christians and Jews. It was an attempt to have world dominion and an attempt to cut off the covenant seed, all incited by the beast of Revelation 12, the sign of which is the fiery dragon. National Socialism in Germany did exactly the same. And at the same time, the land of the rising sun deceptively imitated the Christ rising as the light of the world. Both desired world dominion. National Socialism, especially with the image of the beast, because it sought to stamp out ethnic Jews and all Christians who refused to bow to the Kaiser, more Roman, the more modern word for Caesar. All the time, through it all, the church thrived in the midst of intense provocation. For the King of Kings will not have a competing world dominion. Now we have another rising up by incitement from the beast, and it is global socialism, operating under the deception of fairness and social justice. There's no doubt in my mind that the church and ethnic Israel will one day come under intense pressure, persecution. Once again, that's the beast's pattern. It really has no other choice. Its time is limited. It has to compete for the kingdom of the world in order to establish an illegal dominion. It has to cut off the covenant seed. It must turn at least one covenant newborn against the Christ. But it's under authority of the Christ, and our Lord's newborns are being manifest in it all. For those who belong to Him will keep His commandments and hold to the testimony of Jesus. Once again, we will thrive in all the nations and all the islands of the earth, promised in God's holy word. For the sake of time, I've left out a lot in the 2,000 years since the resurrection and parousia of our Lord, such as the rise of those alien pretenders in the Roman Church who envisioned world dominion for themselves, and the Spanish quest to conquer the known world, and the French under Napoleon, and the philosophical prominence of the French Revolution, providing enlightenment to the world through thinkers such as Rousseau and John Locke and Bastiat, the last two through natural law theory, and of course Darwin in England. Seems that the beast never gives up the quest, but the church continues to thrive, you see, among all of it, because it lives in its Savior, who uses the beast and all of the earth's aliens and illegals for his purpose. Because his rebirthed and baptized newborns are made manifest in it all. For they keep the commandments of God and hold the testimony of Jesus. No matter how severe the provocation is, no matter how severe it becomes, the Lord's kingdom will expand in all the nations. Here's the last point in this interim. Very important. However the church may look from the outside, however the church may look from the inside, belongs to the Christ. There may be false teachers. There may be false prophets. There may be false witnesses. There may be hypocrites. There may be unqualified preachers, pastors, elders, deacons. There may be fornicators. There may be railers against dignities. There may be sluggards who won't work. And there may be some who fold under ridicule and persecution and suffering. But according to God's words, those are there under the authority of the Christ. And they are there for a purpose. The purpose is our Lord's purpose. And that purpose, one of them, is to manifest, to show clearly who the newborns are. And sometimes newborns have to make difficult decisions about the particular assembly with which they worship on the Lord's Day. But you are to make sure that you aren't the hypocrite resembling the beast. Confession, repentance, keeping the commandments of God, holding the testimony of Jesus. Let's continue to build now our understanding of verses 3 and 4. What it says is this: Then another sign in the heaven was made visible, and lo, a great fiery dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and on its heads 7 diadems, and its tail draws the third of the stars of the heaven and casts them into the earth. As we see once again, the language of God is simply spectacular, isn't it, when it's seen in its covenantal continuity. Why is a dragon shown to John here in the heaven as a sign to the churches? This is a sign of Yahweh. It's a sign of the dragon. The language in the early text of Scripture having to do with the creation of this cosmos and having to do with the exodus from Egypt provides us with our answer. The 3 different words for the dragon in the Hebrew text. They all refer to the serpent, which is the hostile, deceitful enemy of God's covenant people, as we saw in Eden. The serpent is identified by 3 different Hebrew dragon words. That's why we see the sign of the dragon here in the text. In order to demonstrate his dominion, for example, over the creature and its incitement of Pharaoh in Egypt, Yahweh turned Moses' rod into a serpent. That was the purpose of turning the rod into the serpent. And then he turned Aaron's rod into, Hebrew word, tannin, a dragon. That's Exodus chapter 7. So it was shown, you see, to all of Egypt and to Israel that the creature that had provoked Pharaoh against God's covenant people was under Yahweh's authority. So in God's view, the entire depraved pagan culture was satanically incited against his covenant people and against his revealed promise of the coming Savior of the world, which had already been revealed. And the dragon serpent language there in the Exodus and all through the scripture was how Yahweh revealed the creature. It's also clear in scripture, especially in references to Egypt, by the word Rahab, which means dragon monster, that Yahweh always is faithful to deliver. Word deliverance there in the King James and other translations means to rescue or to save, to deliver his people from the satanically incited pagan nation. Listen to it from Isaiah chapter 51. This is the passage having to do with the strong right arm of Yahweh where it's prophesied, for it is the coming of God the Son, Messiah, Savior of the world, and He, the Son of God, is the one who delivered Israel from the clutches of the dragon in Egypt. Here it is. Hearken to me, you who follow after righteousness, you that seek Yahweh, look unto the rock from whence you were hewn, and to the hold of the pit from whence you were digged. Look unto Abraham your father, and unto Sarah that bare you, for when he was but one, I called him Abraham. And I blessed him, and I made him many. For Yahweh has comforted Zion. He has comforted all her waste places. He has made her wilderness like Eden, and her desert like the garden of Yahweh. Joy, gladness shall be found therein, thanksgiving, the voice of melody. Attend unto me, my people, and give ear unto me, O my nation, for a law shall go forth from me, and I will establish my justice for a light to the nations. My righteousness is near, my salvation is gone forth, and my arm shall judge the nations, and the isle shall wait for me, and on my strong right arm shall they trust. Lift up your eyes to the heavens, look upon the earth beneath, for the heavens shall vanish away like smoke, the land shall wax old like a garment, they that dwell therein shall die in like manner, but my salvation shall be forever. My righteousness shall not be abolished. Hearken unto me, you that know righteousness, the people in whose heart is my law word. Fear not the reproach of men, neither be dismayed at their revilings, for the moth shall eat them up like a garment. The worm shall eat them up like wool. But my righteousness shall be forever, my salvation unto all generations. Awake, put on strength, O right arm of Yahweh. Awake, as in the days of old, as in the generations of ancient times. Is it not you, O strong right arm of Yahweh, that did cut Rahab in pieces, that did pierce that dragon monster? Is it not you that dried up the sea, the waters of the great deep, that made the depths of the sea a way for my redeemed to pass over? And the ransomed of Yahweh shall return and come with singing unto Zion, and everlasting joy shall be upon their heads. You see, it is the Lord Jesus Christ who is the strong right arm of Yahweh, who brings his people into the new Garden of Eden, the new Zion, just like he did when he freed Israel from Egypt and made a way for them in the sea and dwelt then with the dragon monster, Rahab. The dragon was the Satan, the creature under the authority of the Word of God, God's Son, the creature that was inciting the nations against the progress of God's covenantal promise. Third Hebrew word for this creature is found in a number of places in the older text. Psalmist reveals the exact same things we just read in Psalm 74, as we heard in the Isaiah passage, except for the Hebrew word that's used for it. And Yahweh's strength here is, of course, his word, the Son of God. Listen to it. Just four verses. You did divide the sea by your strength, that is his word. You broke the heads of the sea dragon in the waters. You broke the heads of Leviathan in pieces, and you gave it to be food to the people inhabiting the wilderness. You did cleave fountain and flood. You dried up the mighty water. The day is yours. The night also is yours. You prepared the light and the sun. You did set all the borders of the earth. You made summer and winter. And it goes on. The Exodus, you see, was a deliverance from Leviathan, you see. It is the dragon, the one, the strength of Yahweh who dealt with the dragon with authority. It's the same one who has authority over the waters and the day and the night and the land and the sea and summer and winter. Notice, please, that the psalmist, inspired of Holy Spirit, uses the plural when revealing the work of Yahweh's strength. He broke the heads, plural, of Leviathan. As Daniel describes the beasts in his prophecy, there are seven of them. And as John describes the appearance of the sign of the dragon, it has seven heads. So the sign of the dragon, you see, is to remind all of God's chosen people who are scattered among all the nations out there that this is the same beast that Yahweh revealed at his creation. It is the same beast that Yahweh revealed at the Exodus. And it is the same beast behind the four beast nations of Daniel's prophecy. John specifically names this beast in verse 9, doesn't he? It is Diabolos, devil. It is Satanas, the Satan. It's been cursed by Yahweh, but it should not be cursed by you and me. Since it has been cursed by our Lord, it would be presumptuous, you and me, to curse it. That would be taking on an authority that you and I don't have. It is a dignity of the world order that our God has already condemned, you see. So there is no need whatever for any further condemnation. Further, the act of assuming the authority to God to curse and condemn his dignities is an arrogance that's unbefitting a newborn in Christ. Calling it by its a proper name, speaking to it, commanding it, and even cursing it as if it somehow was under our authority, is precocious. It is haughty. It is being insubordinate to God's authority and purpose for this creature. Besides, speaking to it presumes that it has an omnipresence. Speaking to it presumes it has a ubiquity that it does not possess. Speaking to it assumes that it has the nature of Father, Son, and Spirit when it is only a creature. Speaking to it, then, is an act of idolatry in addition to being presumptuous. Therefore, there is also no need to dignify it either. Calling it by a proper name is giving it a dignity that it has not been given to it by God. God calls it a beast, the sign of which is a dragon. It is devil. It has no proper name. Satan is written in the text of Scripture with an article in front of it. It is the Satan. It is the serpent. It is the dragon. It is the great beast, in contradistinction to the four beasts that it raised up in ancient empires. Following the biblical data, revealing a third and a third and a third, which we've seen in previous chapters, this devil led a third of the lights of the glory cloud, messengers of God, in a rebellion against their Creator. Verse 4 of the text. Manifesting two-thirds as obedient creatures in the glory cloud. Remember that these are all under the authority of God. They're all doing His will, ultimately for His glory. And also remember that there is no shed blood for them. There is no Savior for them. The Savior is the Savior of the world. These devils are predestined to the lake of fire for the glory of Father, Son, and Spirit. We have two specific references in the letters of the apostles letting the churches know for their comfort and for their assurance what exactly went down with these devils. Be aware that this is not astronomy, stars. This is theology. First is from the Apostle Peter in his second letter. Churches would have already known this a little later when they received this revelation from John, having read it from Peter earlier. Here it is at verse 4. For if God spared not the messengers that sinned, but having cast them into the abyss, He has delivered them to chains of darkness to be kept for judgment, so the Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of trial, and to keep the unjust to be punished in the day of judgment. Hope you understood that. Then from the very short letter of Jude to all the churches, we read this at verse 5. Now, Jude says, I want to remind you, you're already knowing this, that the Lord who rescued a people out of the land of Egypt later destroyed those who didn't believe. Also, the messengers that didn't stay in their own positions, but did leave their proper dwelling, He has kept under darkness and everlasting bonds to a judgment of a great day. So, in both of these letters, sent near the last days, and before John's letter was sent to the churches, this one from Peter, then the first one from Peter, this one from Jude, the assurance of all of Christ's newborns out there in the nations is built up during a tumultuous time near the end of the last days, and they both of these letters, sound the trumpet of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ and His authority over these creatures. These creatures were cast from the heaven into the abyss. They are bound in darkness until the day of their judgment. They are deceptively used by our Lord Jesus Christ in our Lord's covenantal decree for the salvation of His world. Yahweh perceives them as having been swept out of the glory cloud by the tail of this serpent dragon, the sign of the great beast. As we finish up here, though, through the middle of verse 4, we also are to be comforted. We also are to be strengthened, because the continuing provocations of the devil, bound in darkness as it is for the purpose of manifesting those who belong to the Christ, those who keep the commandments, those who hold to the testimony of Jesus. Having now spent a better part of 6 hours on the beginning 3.5 verses of the second half of the Revelation, the remainder of the chapter ought to move a little more quickly, and the rest of the Revelation then should be that much more easily understood. May God add great blessing now to the reading and the preaching of His Word. Amen.